In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O beloved in the Lord, O baptized into Christ Jesus, O sons of the kingdom, hear the parable of the tares and the wheat. For Jesus' disciples come to him afterward and inquire earnestly as to its meaning. Mind you, they only did this twice in the Gospel of Matthew, saying, Lord, explain this parable to us. Just as he is incarnate by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary to explain the unfathomable riches of God's mercy toward poor sinners, he also speaks and explains. He gives meaning to all things for his own dear children, the babes and infants incorporated into the good seed of his own body, crucified, dead, and buried, and now risen from the dead, to give life to all who believe and are baptized into his name. Before there were kings or queens, before there were fathers or mothers, sons or daughters, before there were preachers of the word, before there were prophets, apostles, evangelists, and pastors, before there were cows or goats, before there were spiders and snakes, minnows and whales, lobsters and clams, each and all created by God the Father Almighty out of his everlasting love from the beginning. Before all of these, there were plants. Plants. On the third day of creation, the earth brought forth vegetation. Plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. See and hear, O beloved of the Lord, that he deals with you at the very roots of your being, you who were created after the plants. For he speaks to you in parables, yes, but he also speaks to you in terms of all that has inhabited his creation from the beginning. He speaks to you in terms of life, yes, but also in terms of how this life and this creation, as the Holy Spirit writes through the Apostle Paul, is subject to futility. It is passing. It is not permanent. It will not always be the same. It will change. It will be changed, for it is God's creation, and you are his creatures. Yea, more than that, you are the sheep of his pasture, who abide in him, who frolic with joy and humility in the freedom from sin and death, even though it too is deeply rooted in your being. For you are set free from your slavery to corruption and placed into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. It's remarkable how often your Father in heaven makes use of botanical terms when informing you of his kingdom. The cypress and the myrtle from the Old Testament reading last week. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. And instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And there's the mulberry bush, the mustard seed, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, the burning bush, the vines in the vineyard, the vine into whom you have been grafted through holy baptism, the sycamore tree climbed by little sinner Simon so he could see Jesus, the tree of the cross lifted up so that all might see Jesus and be drawn to him, and the fruit of the Spirit. Ask any botanist and he will tell you that without plants there would be no life. Likewise, dear sons of the kingdom, without the cross firmly embedded into the creation as necessary from the beginning, there would be no everlasting life. The cross that bore your Lord Jesus up as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the cross into which, as the body of Christ, you have been baptized and are firmly rooted and grounded according to his mercies from of old, from one day to the next. Your days are like the grass. You do flourish like a flower of the field. And yet, abiding in the good seed of the Son of Man, who has knit himself into your flesh and blood to be your righteousness, You await the last day when he shall come in glory to judge both the living and the dead, to separate the tares from the wheat. And he will separate the tares that afflict you, body and soul, while you live under the sun. Such is the kingdom of heaven that the Lord God has invested himself completely and fully, first into this creation, yes, yet a creation subject to futility, even as this parable bears out, a parable that leads the disciples to come to Jesus separately and quiz him out on it. Tell us, what does this mean? Why did they ask Jesus to explain this parable in particular and not all the others? Maybe it is because this parable touches on one of the most fundamental questions ever to enter the mind and roll off the lips of mortal men, namely, where did evil come from? Why is evil here? When will evil cease to be? You planted good seed, did you not? You declared your entire creation to be good, did you not? Indeed, not just good, but very good. So where did all this wickedness, sin, and death, and stumbling blocks, and lawlessness come from? Why do we have false teachers who are so popular? Why are there masses of people who react to the gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sins as if it were a message of hatred? Jesus explains it in five short words. An enemy has done this. Now, in your own wisdom, O man of flesh, you are inclined to pry further and ask, aren't you, why, O Lord, did you let an enemy do this? But the Lord God is not subject to satisfy your curiosity. Rather, it is his to make satisfaction for you in and through his only begotten Son and to bring you into his body. The church. Consider what the enemy has done and how he has done it. Before there were kings or queens, fathers or mothers, sons and daughters, and before there were preachers of the word, before there were prophets, apostles, evangelists, and pastors, the enemy sowed the bad seed. The enemy sowed the bad seed with four words of his own, punctuated by a question mark. Indeed, has God said? Therein lies the origin, the seed, all that leads toward the loss of the true fear, love, and trust in God, so that rather than taking him at his word, you question it. Do not think the bad seed has not also taken root in you. Sin has its root in doubting what the Lord God says of himself and how he deals with his creation, allowing the evil one no leash, no power, no authority except that which serves the Lord God's eternal purposes in Christ Jesus, including you, beloved children of God. By nature, yes, you are given to doubt the word of the Lord. By nature, you would rather pay heed to anything and everything that makes Jesus less than your only desire. By nature, you would rather fill your life with drama than hear and give heed to the good seed. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Who are these slaves of the landowner in this parable? They are the faithful, like Jeremiah, who writes, Why did I ever come forth from the womb to look on trouble and sorrow, so that my days have been spent in shame? And like Job, let the day perish on which I was born, and the night which said, a boy is conceived. Or like Isaiah, who writes, Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. And God does rend the heavens and come down through the only begotten Son, the only good seed, sown into this creation to save it as has been planned from the foundation of the world before there were plants, before there were the heavens and the earth. So here is what the Lord God says of it all to you, little creature of his tender care and mercy. See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. The tares and the wheat, they must grow together until the last day, so that the Lord God may administer, according to the eternal riches of his glory, all that pertains not only to this body and life, but also to the life of the world to come. That is just how it is, O little creature. And his administration, it is not political, nor is it just advice for practical living, nor is it a scheme to get rich according to the ways of this world. His administration is a baptism that washes away your sins and plants you firmly into the kingdom of heaven, inasmuch as you are baptized into the death and resurrection of your Lord Jesus Christ. His administration is a supper of the body and blood of Christ Jesus for you to eat and to drink, so that you may be sustained and comforted in the face of every evil, including that which arises from your own flesh. His administration is Christ Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, come down from heaven to raise you up in his body, so that you may be gathered into his barn at the last day and shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of your Father. There is no need to pull up the tares now. Were it so, the Lord God would already have done it. But let them grow together, so that repentance and faith may be preached in all the world, and the good seed of the only begotten may be sown and administered according to the eternal riches of God's mercy in Christ Jesus. Besides, who knows whether some who practice lawlessness will repent and believe the gospel and be saved? As the tares, the weeds, the stumbling blocks, and the sons of lawlessness carry on, by these you are proven true. Through these you are tested, but not beyond what you are able to endure through Christ Jesus. Yes, you are given to many sorrows and much weakness in this body and life. Nevertheless, it holds true. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to you and in you. Let this be sufficient, O beloved of the Lord, O baptized into Christ Jesus, O sons of the kingdom. For God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is not slack or forgetful in bearing you up in his body. He is faithful. His love toward you is great. He has delivered you from death and the grave, and he will deliver you forever from all that the evil one has undertaken to destroy, even as he has rescued you from the domain of darkness, transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.